Good evening, everyone. Is there any stations with emergency priority traffic? Please call T2BAR. Okay, good answer. Good evening, everyone. This is W2, Tango, Tango, Tango. This is Gordon, and Whiskey 2, Tango, 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 as I said, and we'll be using the call sign of K2BAR, the call sign of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, who sponsors this net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz. The 2-meter repeater in Alpine of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, which graciously lets us use their repeater. And this net's a little different. It's open to all radio amateurs. And it's a conversation. It's about conversation about amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, computing, natural phenomena, the underlying science, what we do with our hobby, our successes, our failures, our aspirations, things that went well, things that did not go well. Talk about it all. Talk about the camaraderie and how the technology brought you to that happy place. Or maybe that unhappy place that you want to do better about next time. So anyway, the way we check into this net is a little different than other nets. We check in by call sign group, and we check in with our call sign, our name, and we indicate whether or not we have a question, a comment, a sale or swap item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. Now, you might ask, why would we want you to check in if it was none of the above? Because we actually try to tailor our answers and our responses, and even we might even ask you a question based on, you know, the fact that you're there, and we try to scale it to the audience. So lacking the knowledge of who the audience is, especially because they didn't have something directly to contribute, kind of makes for an awkward situation and a disconnect. So if we can get right to it, that would be excellent. Stations whose call sign begin with the letter A for alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale or swap items, some combination of those things, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. I guess we have no alphas. Okay, let's go to the Novembers.
N2OEL, one comment.
N2OEL with a comment. And I'm glad you came in, Noel. You're on Echolink. If you would like to access via Echolink or text via Echolink, please call, please connect to K2FoxTrotJuliet-L, K2FoxTrotJuliet-Lima. That will get you to the repeater. Alrighty, very good, Noel. Welcome aboard. While I'm there, are there any other stations on Echolink? Connected, W2TTT. Okay, I was a little slow at the gate, but okay, that brought me back to check in. Turn that dial volume down. I'll watch the text message window too, in case that's of interest. Alrighty, any stations whose call signs begin with Whiskey, please call K2BAR.
W2LCN, the name is Rick with no questions, just listening in.
Good evening, Rick. Any other Whiskeys?
2UMP in Pearl River, good evening. Just listening this evening.
Okay, good evening, James. Good hearing you. Any other Whiskeys?
WI2LYP, Bill, Rivervale, lurking.
Lurking. Okay, WI2LYP. Very good, Bill. Any other Whiskeys?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township, with two comments.
Got you, Randy. Welcome aboard. Any other Whiskeys?
W2JEK with a comment.
Good evening, Donald. We'll see you with your comment. Any other Whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Good evening, Sir Charles. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys? Okay, how about Kilo 2s?
Tony, K2AMI, with two comments.
Hey, Tony, I got you. Very good. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilo 2s?
No comments, no questions, just listening out, Gordon.
Okay, KC2RX, gotcha. Who is the station to double with you?
KC2YNC, the name is Lou here, and I am mobile 287 southbound.
Very good, Lou. What are your preferences? Questions, comments for Sailor Swap? None of the above, some of the above?
Just a comment.
Okay, we'll get your comment. Where are you southbound on 287, you said?
I was southbound, now westbound on Route 10 in Morris County.
All right, we're going to get to you quick because I'm a little worried about the strength. Okay, very good. Any other kilos?
Okay, just listening.
KD2DDK, good evening, Gary. Nice work on the chart, by the way. Any other kilos? Okay, very good. Let's get to them then. Oh, any other call signs, anything I might have missed, or late check-ins, et cetera?
Alpha Charlie 2, Golf India.
Okay, 2, EIR.
Okay, we'll take Rich first. What's your preference?
Just a comment.
Very good. And Howie?
Late check-in, missed everything in the beginning of the net, didn't realize the receiver turned off.
Okay, will you be making questions, comments for Sailor Swap?
Negative, just sitting in.
Very good. Any other stations? Yeah, let's get to them real quick. KC2YNC, Lou, you wanted to make a comment before you run out of string, K2BAR, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. Now, we've spoken just once before earlier in the week for the first time, and AC2GI mentioned this TechNet, and I thought I'd chime in. I wasn't sure actually what time it was, but scan it through, and just thought I'd stop in and say hello. Good evening, Rich, and we'll see you soon. Back to Gordon. This is KC2YNC, and maybe I'll check in again sometime real soon.
Okay, that's very good. Very good. Lou, welcome aboard. Nice to have you join us. Alrighty, let me quickly go to a couple of the usual suspects. We're going to take, in order, we're going to take JEK, then AMI, and 2OEL, and then we'll probably take a breath for a moment and see who else on the list we want to rattle through. But I know those are the guys who have some timing issues. So let's go first, W2JEK, K2BAR.
W2JEK, just want to announce that Barra will be running a VE test session on Friday, November 15th at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. If you're coming, the test fee is $15. Need an ID, such as a driver's license or a passport with a photo or two forms of non-photo ID. You need a copy of the original license and a copy of your license if you have a license. And if you wish to use a calculator, you may. The memory must be empty. Items such as cell phones, iPods, etc. may not be used as calculators. I think that covers it. Back to net, W2JEK.
Very good. Anybody have any questions or comments about the upcoming test sessions and of course, anything about examinations in general? Okay, Don, anything you want to add?
Nothing at this time. Back to net, W2JK. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Just an observation that the last Friday of December there will be a test session associated with the one-day of course, that all run at St. John's and Bergenfield. Don and his team will have graciously agreed to make themselves available for that. And we really appreciate it because there is no regular merit test session in December. Alrighty, very good, and thank you for doing that. Let's see. Oh, by the way, that session is open to anybody. I'll get more details later on that. In any case, let's go to K2AMI, K2BAR. Tony, your comments.
AMI here, and just two comments. I was exploring the internet looking for a panel mount meter that would be interesting for a power supply that I am putting together. And very nicely found a little LED meter that reads volts and amps. You might find it by searching LED meters on eBay. Runs about $13 and will display operating voltage and amps on the same panel. Well, one above the other, one in red display and one in blue display. And I thought something like this might be interesting for fellows like Sandy, who had developed a nice power supply load and had to hook up meters to the power supply. Externally, this could be put into an isolated box and tied into his output and input needs. So that was an interesting little purchase. Worked very well. And the second thing was, just wanted to point out that there's a expedition going on now in Wake Island. And one of the Wake Island operators for the expedition is an old Barra member named Carl Schroeder. And he's K9CS. Carl lived in this area for many years and then moved to Illinois. And it's nice to see his name appear. Goes back a good 15-20 years when he was in Barra, but we have a representation of Barra on Wake Island the expedition. Back to that.
Very good. That's very, very good. I honestly, let's see, I'm trying to remember what he looked like, but these K9 Charlie Sierra now, okay. Has anyone else worked them since he's been there?
Stations have worked them, but I don't know if they worked him particularly. Carl was a very tall, thin fellow, and he lived in the Richfield, Bogota area for a while, and was a good friend of Pete's, W2HP. His wife was a little shorter, also a very nice person. I think she was licensed also. Back to that.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know. Okay. Anybody else have any comments for Tony about it? Or remembrance of Mr. Schroeder when he was in the area?
Question? K2BAR, AC2GI. Tony, was that an LED or LCD meter you're talking about? And what was Carl's call?
First answer, it's an LED display. It's got red LEDs for reading out volts, and under that, in a slightly smaller size, it's got a blue LED that reads amps. It's about an inch and a half wide and about an inch high. I don't remember Carl's call in this area, but it might have been K2CS, but I'm not too sure. But it's K9CS now.
Real quick, was this Amazon you saw the meter, or was this on eBay? I'm sorry.
It was on eBay. Again, just search LED meters, voltmeters and ammeters will come up. And, of course, they have many, and the one that I picked covers from 0 to 30 volts and 0 to 100 amps. You can pick one for your needs. The 100-amp model is the one I was interested in because I'm running a TS-480 that pulls up a good 40 amps on full load. Make sure you pick the right voltage and the right amps when you look at them. They have AC meters and DC meters of different ranges.
Yeah, I don't see anything on the dual display. Oh, yes, I do. 300 volt, 100 amp. official AC. That's an AC panel. Tony, by any chance, did you join the ComTech group, or could you shoot me an email, and I could certainly, forward the information on the ComTech group, plus anyone else who wants it. Probably send you an invite to join the ComTech group on eBay. Oh, I found it. I finally found it. Digital DC 4.5 to 30 volt, 100 amp red and blue LED dual panel and voltmeter combo with shunts. About $13 and change. $14.49. Couple of them there. You might find one for a dollar less than what I found. Anyway, you got the right one. It's got the shunt also. It's a 100 amp shunt, which is a very heavily built, heavy duty type shunt. Yeah, I think I'm going to go buy a couple of those. That sounds like a really good idea.
Are you talking about the 6 amp shunts that are for sale on eBay for about $6?
Talking about the digital dual meters, volts and amps together, one panel.
Yeah, Tony told me about it. I went looking, and you can buy the shunt separately for 10 amps or 100 amps.
Well, trust me, 100 amps is fine. I'm all good with that. Sounds good. Pretty good. Good find, Tony.
One now.
I'm sorry, say again?
I just started using one right now.
Yeah, I'm going to order a couple of those. Those are real handy.
They are not flush mount, or you have to cut them into a panel. I filed mine into an aluminum panel, so they're not a surface mount type device.
It's okay. We can do it. All right, anything else for Tony? Tony, do you want to add any more? K2MI, K2B Air, did you want to add any more?
I'm sorry, Gordon. You're talking too fast for my ears today. No, I don't have anything else to add. I'll be listening.
Okie doke. Well, very good. Well, thank you very much. And that was a good find. Yeah, definitely got that going. I'll put that link on the ComTech group once I'm done with the net. Maybe sooner. We'll see how busy it gets. Alrighty. Let's see. 2222. Alright. N2OEL. Mr. Noel. KTBAR, go ahead.
Well, as you know, I'm making a battery pack for my RV out of a total of 4 golf cart batteries. Each of the batteries is 6 volts at 232 amp hours. So when I'm done, I'll have the equivalent of a 12 volt battery at 464 amp hours. These are true deep cycle batteries, and you can safely charge them to 80%, or discharge them 80%, unlike a car battery where if you go much past 10%, you're in trouble. And the thing that's interesting is there was a hardware store upstate. We call it the Mennonite Walmart. Mennonites are sort of like the Amish people, except that they're slightly different. This hardware store made the shunts for me. Not shunts, I shouldn't say shunts. The straps, because you have to, of course, hook the 2 6 volts together with a short cable. You also have to hook the 2 pluses at the end and the 2 minuses at the other end together to make a complete, put them in parallel, series parallel. 2 6 volts in series, and then 2 sets of that to make 12 volts. Anyways, it was about $32, and I got four shunts, each approximately 10 inches long, made out of 2-gauge wire. The guy brings out a crimper that looks like the size of a bowl cutter with about a 3.5-foot arm and these special little crimp things and crimp the darn thing. I was just most amazed. Back to that, this is Antonio.
That's very nice. Very nice. And, yeah, the Mennonites are, you know, very industrious folks, and they know how to reuse tools and reuse assets. The ultimate recyclers. If you've ever seen Homesteading Alaska, kind of reminds me of those kind of folks. They keep stuff in the backyard, and they magically pull stuff together when they need it and make great use of it. I like that Homesteading Alaska show just for that reason. Anybody else have any comments?
KC2ORX disconnected.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, Noel. Did you want to add anything?
That was it. That was it. Nothing. It's just interesting that it's still available, easily available, and I think it cost me like $32 or $34 for the four sets of straps.
Yeah, which is hardly excessive. Alright, very good. Alrighty, we're going to go to WU2S. Randy, you had a couple of comments for the net, KTBAR.
Thanks, Gordon. A couple of quick comments. The first is an update on the power pole locks that we've discussed and that I've handed out recently. Based on some actual field use from Gordon and others, we've updated the design and tested it. So we've got the end arms are thinner. They're about one-third thinner, so they'll fit through the zip cord better. You don't need as wide an opening. And secondly, the little stubs that fit in the hole are significantly shorter. They're still there. I find that they do help align the thing and keep it in place, so I've left them. Made out of ABS, they work pretty well. Of course, the plastic itself is still fairly brittle. I've done some experiments trying to build them out of nylon, but it's so far been unsuccessful. Nylon melts and cools in an entirely different manner, and I have not been successful yet in building up the arms. It just sort of, the base gets built and then there's sort of little globs. So I haven't given up yet, but I'm so far not successful. I'm going to try another two different resins, PLA, polylactic acid, and a liquid resin on a different machine and see if I get some results, and I'll keep everybody posted. That's comment one, Gordon.
Okay, anybody have any comments they want to add to that for Randy? I mean, he's making good progress testing all sorts of materials, so this is good. Okay, okay. By the way, the other thing I found myself doing, I sat there watching a hockey game the other day. My son was reffing, and I found myself with the file of my Leatherman just whittling away at the at both the center sticks and the form factor of the end clips, and I've yet to test them, but I'll take some pictures at some point before I risk breaking them. But I have one that's about 20% of the original length, or maybe 25, and the other one maybe is about 33% of the original length on the same stick, and then the end clips I've been doing pretty much just trying to shave them down in a couple of different dimensions so that they will fit. Your other comment, Randy?
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. And for anyone that's interested for that first design, I still have three or four dozen of the first prototype left, so if you're interested, or Gordon, if you want another handful, I've got plenty of more to fool around with. Second comment is regarding power supplies. I wanted to solve a simple problem where I wanted to keep a battery that's, you know, connected to equipment and occasionally in use, also charged up, and I see that a fellow named Lewis, and I can't remember his call sign, solved this problem quite some time ago. In fact, there's an article in the May 2001 QST describing how he designed and built the circuit to keep a battery charger connected to a sealed lead acid battery that was used to power, I believe, his Elecraft K2. And he explains, you know, why the standard three-stage battery charger doesn't work well in this application, where the radio will get turned on and occasionally keyed and draw a high current for short periods and so on. So he does a nice job in the article of explaining the construction and theory behind his design. And so I've ordered all the parts for that, including a very nice circuit board that is available from Far Circuits out in Dundee, Illinois, where I believe many of you know them. And so all that should be arriving next week, and I'm excited about assembling this thing. It's a bit more expensive than I had hoped. On the other hand, I should end up with a really useful product, and of course something that enables me to learn something firsthand, hands-on experience. So just thought I'd mention the new project. Gordon, back to Net Control.
I missed that entire thing. My mother called me looking for transportation to the doctors on Tuesday, so I missed that whole thing. Did anybody have any comments for Randy? I apologize, Randy. I feel like a total jackass here because I had no idea what you talked about at all. And nobody else has any comments. So you want to quickly summarize it because maybe I have something to say.
No problem, Gordon. Just commenting about a new project about a battery charger for sealed lead acid battery that is designed to be continuously connected to the battery even while it's in use, where a transceiver might be occasionally drawing from it.
Sounds neat. In fact, if those of you who heard me riding around in Nancy's car, I've got one of those power gate things with a sealed acid battery that I've been charging. And it's charging just fine, but apparently it leaves an audible tick. Almost someone has accused me of having what sounds like a dot matrix printer connected to my radio, which is pretty funny. But so yeah, if you can solve that problem in itself, that would probably be a good thing. Now, are you looking for a DC in to type charger, or are you looking for an AC in type charger, or one circuit that you could then, you know, drive either way?
This is an AC input, and then of course obviously a DC output to keep the battery charged, and it's in effect a two-stage charger, but it's using voltage sensing instead of current sensing, and the reason for that is explained in the article by Lewis.
That's pretty cool. All right. Yeah, if you could, you know, make a reference to that, maybe on the ComTech group, that might be something that we might all want to jump in for.
I will certainly do that in the next day or two. I'll post it on the group so that everybody can look up the article that I've referred to, Gordon.
Yeah, I have a question myself here, and thank you for that, Randy. I got a note from Phil Chesky, KD2ENP, who lives in Elmwood Park. He's the scoutmaster of Troop 80 in at St. Leo's in Elmwood Park. And he was asking about, he was listening on the Barra net last night, that a station in Colorado was taking down his father's station, and wanted to give away a crank-up tower, but somehow or another the call sign eluded Phil. But did anybody know who that might be on the Barra net last night? K2MI, K2BAR, were you there last night, or W2JEK?
I do not remember that conversation. Again, last night, maybe Noel was running the net. Maybe he would have a recollection. Just a quick pause. I did send you the link on the exact meter that I ordered, and I think it's better than the one you looked at because it's got just three wires to connect. So please check the link I sent you before you order them. Anyway, maybe Noel might recall it. I don't know it.
Okay. Yeah, three wires. That's definitely nicer. Well, let's see what we got here. Yeah, it looks like the same one I ordered. Yeah, it's the same one. At least it appears to be. Yeah. $14.49 is the price, right?
Sorry, I don't have it up now, but I think that's right.
Yep, that's exactly the unit that I found and have ordered two already and put on the Comtech group. Alrighty, if anyone's interested in joining the Comtech group, it's COMTECHGROUP. As one word, not Comtech space group, but it's comtechgroup@yahoogroups.com. Email to that, you'll get back something that says you're not a member, and it'll tell you how to become a member, and blah, 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 blah. So Comtech Group, that's one string, at yahoogroups.com. Alrighty, let's see, we have AC2GI, K2BAR.
K2BAR, AC2GI. Yeah, I have a comment. It's about the logbook of the world. I have been patiently waiting for a match on one of my contacts. From one of the more unusual places in the U.S., and I waited, and didn't come through. I sent the gentleman an email, and he had sworn up and down that he had definitely entered the contact. And I called up to the league and spoke to a really nice gentleman up there, and unfortunately his name I don't have at the top of my mind right now. But he looked in that other station's log and then in mine and found out that our times did not match. We were 45 minutes off. And he said the threshold for a match is 30 minutes. And I thought that was good information for people that are having trouble matching up some of their contacts. You have a 30-minute window within the two logs to make a complete match. Back to that, AC2GI.
That's interesting, Rich. I didn't realize that. I'm surprised it's even as wide as 30 minutes, but, hey, I'll take it. That's interesting. So I guess that's a problem. Has anyone else had any similar troubles with logbook matching? Okay, well, very good. Well, thank you, Rich, for sharing that. Anybody else have anything for the net tonight? I do have an item for sale, actually, too, and you put it. My comm van, complete with the operating desk, et cetera, is for sale, roof rack and all, and with the tower on the back, I'm asking $3,500, and if... with the special mount and everything for that. And I'll even throw in the aluminum box that people really want at all. And then if you want to break it down separately, you can have that really cool tubular cable-driven mast for about 20-odd feet for $2,500, and you can buy my vehicle for $1,500. So either way, it's all available. Just see me. And money does talk, so... cash is king, so I can be persuaded with an offer. So, In any case, that's all I have for tonight. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add? Okie dokie. Well, we're going to run a STEM weekend for science, technology, engineering, and math this weekend for about 50 or so scouts up at Camp Terrell, and that should be a good weekend. And then an amateur, you'll play a prominent role in it. And then, of course, on top of that, we are we have a ham fest on the second Saturday December in Bergenfield, and we will be doing tech sessions, discussion presentations, et cetera. If anyone would like to do a presentation there as part of a technical forum, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Alrighty, on that note, back to anybody else for the last comment, KTDAR.
2AMI with
station, go ahead.
Is that K2AMI?
Hey, Tony.
Well, obviously, tomorrow night, Friday night, is the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club's monthly meeting, Friday night this week. We didn't do it last week because of conflict with the building. And also, the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club auction is coming up on November 29th. So keep in touch with those dates.
N2OEL timeout.
That's a good note, Tony. It's a very good note. Yeah, I will not be there because of the scout trip this weekend, but it should be fun. And we've got a bunch of things. We also have the Barrett dinner, so please get your reservation to KQDSL if you are interested in participating in the Barrett dinner on December 1st.
W2TTT disconnected.
We'll in a few minutes. I just got to go down to my son's hockey game. So, 73 and God bless. K2BAR, this is W2TTT returning the net to a repeater to our normal amateur radio use. God bless.
AMI, here is K2EIR.
K2AMI, go ahead.
Yeah, hiya, Tony. I'd like some details about that auction. Let me see if I can find the flyer, because I got that last night, wrong piece of paper. But I wanted to know a little bit more about the fees if I was putting something up. One thing, are you able to specify a minimum?
There is on part of the fellow bringing the items, you can specify a minimum price. And you do not have to accept below the minimum unless you find that you just want to not take it home. Minimum prices are accepted, and the auctioneer, it should be marked on the item, and we'll display it so the auctioneer can see that. And other fees are they charge a percentage of the actual sale. If it goes for $10, I think they keep $1. I think it's 10%. That number has varied slightly, but basically it's around a 10% fee for the actual auctioneer. Those are only two fees. The fee that you'd be involved in. There's no charge to come to the auction. The auction is free. Admission is free. And you can bring anything you want and sell it or not sell it.
Roger. Yeah, I just found the flyer. And it says the fee is 12%. Okay. Yeah, the two things I were concerned about was minimum price, because, I wouldn't want to let it go for a song. And whether if it didn't sell, whether I'd wind up, losing money. Of course, that's the problem, taking things to a ham fest and it doesn't sell. If you rent a table, the more you do it, eventually you don't even break even. So, I'm flirting with this idea. Very nice. Thank you for announcing it. K2EIR.
The other thing that I always look at when I bring something either to the Hamfest or to an auction, and I have a figure in mind that I've seen on eBay or other auction sites or other places, and it doesn't seem to want to go for that price, I always look at it a second time and say, gee, I've got 5 good years at that thing, and I've enjoyed it for 5 years, and it's worth something. Those 5 years are worth something to me, so I can reduce the price by the use that I've got out of it. So, again, don't be too hard fixed for eBay prices and expect to get them locally.
Yeah, I had that in mind. I've got to figure out what I'm willing to sell for, and also not delude myself. The thing with eBay, of course, is you're going to have to ship it. Means you have to package it up. It's nice to bring it to something local where, you know, almost any box will do, and the guy takes it home on the back seat of his car, and that's enough shock absorption, usually. Although, of course, you don't want him to arrive home and have jumbled all the tubes and everything, and then he complains it doesn't work. So I guess putting it in some packaging is probably a good idea.
Like any eBay item, or rather any auction item or a flea market item, once the money is exchanged, the guarantee extends only as far as the parking lot. In most cases, unless you have a verbal or written agreement with anybody else.
Roger. Well, it's nice to you know, illustrate that it's working. It might require an AC cord. Yeah, I've got a Drake 2B receiver. I think I ought to get up for sale. All right, I just have to see if I'll remember the date and make the drive and that whole business. But I'm glad for the opportunity, and thank you for announcing it.
Drake 2B probably won't get the value you want, so you're better off selling it on eHam or some other way. There's a lot of prices for a 2B depends upon the condition and you know, how much you want to get out of it. It's a tough thing to get money out of a good antique.
Yeah. I gotta figure it out. You know, sometimes I think I just ought to hold on to it, and even if someday all I do is rebuild it with solid state and just use the passband tuner or pre-selector and all that, it may be more worthwhile given the cost of some parts today. But, you know, right now it's taking up space, so I've let go of other things this past year for a lot less than I was ever expecting or thought it should get, but it was good to get the space and cut out the storage costs. This one happens, the 2B happens to be here because, you know, it's small, so it's not really a problem that way. But thanks for the advice. Now I'm trying to figure out just how bad it would be. But you see, that's where the minimum selling price might help me. You know, it just may not sell. It may not be worth the gas to go from Tarrytown to Fairlawn and back, you know. But we'll pay the toll. But we'll see. I'll think about it. Thank you.
Be good. K2EIR, enjoy the evening, have a good night, and research it, but my experience has been that items over $100 don't sell well, so if you're looking for anything above that figure, think twice. Under $100, they probably will go very quickly.
Roger. Okay, you're pushing me more to the eBay thing because I've got the 2B queue with it and extra crystals, extra tubes. I'm looking for a lot more than 100, or hoping for a lot more than 100. Change the topic. I know you do antenna work. Does the name Mike Underhill ring any bells for you?
Yes, I do not know that name.
Okay, I actually, during the net, I was reading an article by him. Apparently, he's a professor in Great Britain, and his article is about the efficiency of small antennas, in particular the magnetic loop. And the gist of what I'm reading is that he feels that they've been taking a bad rap as far as efficiency. You know, there's some people think that you just can't have an efficient small antenna, and I think Krauss proved that, or came up that theoretically back in the 1940s, that you could have an infinitely small antenna that was 100% efficient. And this Mike Underhill is writing a thing about heuristics, and essentially he's done some experiments, and the key thing is he's saying, well, listen, if you've got a lot of loss in the capacitor, as people claim, and the contact resistance of this and that, there ought to be a lot of heat. And so he sort of calculates how much heat there ought to be and says, no, we don't find that kind of heat in small loops. Back from a heat point of view, it must be about 90% efficient. So I'm intrigued by this. I'm reading further. At some point, I will try a small loop here.
I do not use a small loop, and I don't have any familiarity with one. But I have heard that they are interesting for receiving. I don't know about transmitting.
Yeah, well, I've made a very small loop for direction finding for receiving, and that was a good experience. It was amazing how sharp the null could be and how accurate I think it is. I think I heard a heterodyne, so somebody else wants to get in here. This is K2EIR. Well, that seems to be a negative. Okay, thank you again, Tony. I'll say 73. If you have anything further. K2AMI from K2EIR.
Demetrius, have a great evening.
What's that? Well, a good night's sleep is always a great evening, too. 73, K2EIR.
KD2DDK, you're around there, Gary? KD2DDK from KC2VMA. KD2DDK, you're on the Gary? KD2DDK from KC2ZMA.
KC2ZMA, KD2DDK.
Marco, what's going on? Hey there, Gary. Thanks for coming back there. Radio's working great there, Gary. Use it these couple days here. I just want to keep you informed that everything's working good. I think the battery is not holding good of a charge. I think I might get another battery for it. Other than that, it's working just great with the audio and everything. So it's, but I just might get a new battery for it, though.
Yeah, okay, I understand. And, you know, it's probably not a bad idea to have a new battery. You know, these radios are quite old. The radio itself has probably seen its second or third set of new batteries, because they only last a few years, 3 years or so, especially the NICADs or whatever. So, you know, and you're well into an older radio. So it's seen new batteries before.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that, Gary. Yeah, I think, was it a Rayovac battery that it has? So it's been replaced once already. But, yeah, it's not, I don't think it's holding as good as it's supposed to, but... but it's typical, I guess. You know, it's an old radio and everything else. But yeah, I might get a battery. You can get it off Amazon. I think I've seen it for about $25 or so. So I gotta take a good look at it again, check it out. And I think I might get a couple of those dust covers. I'll get you one of those dust covers if you want from one of your radios. I'm pretty sure they have them, and I think they're too expensive as well with those dust covers on the side there. But, yeah, other than that, it's working fantastic. I wanted to, I forgot to tell you, I wanted to know the frequency program for the MT-1000, for the UHF. I wanted to know the frequency, but I forgot all about it, but don't worry about that next time. Just one repeater system that I want to put in there. But no problems, no worries with that there, Gary. Right now I'm programming my ICOM 880 for my new vehicle. So I'm going to put an 880 in the new vehicle I just purchased, and just programming right now. So if you need any programming software for Yaesu, I have a couple Yaesu programs and for ICOM or so, but that's what I'm doing right now there.
Very good, very nice. Are you using the official Yaesu program, or do you use Chirp? I tend to use Chirp because I can copy-paste from one radio to the next. Makes it pretty easy. Did you get the one you were thinking to get? The Toyota? The little Toyota?
That's right there, Gary, yeah. Yeah, I got the RAV4, picked it up yesterday. And I'm not going to drill any holes or anything like that yet. I know a lot of people probably want me to, but I'm not going to do that yet. But, yeah, I did pick up the vehicle, and I'm just programming the 880 here. I never used Chirp. I know a lot of people use Chirp. No, I have official Yaesu software, and the ICOM, I have, it's basically free, the ICOM for the 880. You just download it from the website. The cable is the only thing that's expensive there. Right now I'm just programming all the frequencies in, and some D-Star stuff too. Some D-Star hotspots into the radio itself. And that's what I'm doing actually tonight. And so for radio stuff this week. No more programming this week. yeah, see how that works out. It's basically a brand new 880. I never really used that much. And it was going to purchase another vehicle, so this was waiting for this vehicle to go in there. The other radio, the Corolla, it's going to stay in there, so I still have the Corolla. I got rid of my girlfriend's car, though, so I have the Corolla and my car then.
No, very good, very good. Yeah, I, you know, as soon as I can, I like to get a nice ground plane, but I understand. Worked out very good for me. As a matter of fact, I'm still using it. It's one of those little trunk lip mounts. I plan on putting it back in the rear of the vehicle by the hatch, only the way the hinges worked and the thickness at that point was just too much. I couldn't put it there. So I put it up on the right fender, NMO mount, and just screwed a dual bander onto it. And that's been working very nice. You know, I've been running it now for 9 months or so. And it's been working very good right there on the fender. Little trunk mount MNO, and it slides over the sheet metal and fits in the crease that, you know, you would have when you close the hood. And two little set screws hold it in place.
Nice there, Gary, nice. But I think I've seen it when I saw your vehicle the other day there. But yeah, that's a nice setup there. And that's what I have on my Corolla. Yeah, I have the drill the hole in the roof, NMO antenna mount. Yeah, and yeah, that thing works great too. I think I've had it for about maybe 2 years. I'm waiting for it to leak water or anything like that, but dry as a bone. I think I did a good job of sealing it up. I did a really good job on it because I took my time on it and made sure that there was no water getting through. But yeah, that works great. That works great with that. And, yeah, this one, I don't know if I'm going to put a mag mount. We'll get some, I know some other guys in the club, I think, kind of have something on the side. Like in between a door, I think. Maybe an antenna in between a door or so. I'm not sure, but I've seen a couple of them. A couple of the guys have something like that without drilling any holes or stuff like that. So I'm going to try like that now. And, not drill any holes for the radio, just put the radio maybe on a dash just for now. Just so if I have a mobile in the vehicle. I don't want to drill any holes yet until the deal gets a little bit older. And see how that works out. KD2DDK from KC2ZMA.
Yeah, very good, Marco. Yeah, I like that mount because everybody makes a different frequency and different types of antennas that you can swap and change if you want. You know, if you wanted a dual bander, you can put a dual bander on it. If you wanted a 6 meter or a 10 meter one, you can just screw one on there. Or, you know, if you wanted a 900, you can just screw one on the mount. So if you have a couple NMO mounts on the car, you can just mix and match the antennas. You know, I brought the cable the other night for your MT-1002. I had it in the bag with me just in case you wanted to change anything.
Yeah, that's right there, Gary. And I forgot about the one of the repeaters I want to put in there. Someone told me about it. It's the actually... what is it right here? The W2RN repeater. It's like a 443750. It's not too far away from me. And someone told me, I forgot who... someone told me in the club, I forgot who told me about it, but I actually hit it with an HT, no problem. And I just wanted to put that in, but I forgot all about that, Bill Gary. I forgot all about that to program that in. Don't worry about it, next time, there's no problem with that. I actually have it programmed into the mobile here, and I'll have 2 meters and 440 in the new vehicle. So you'll hear me on the 442-000, and all the other ones you'll hear me on there. So I'll have the mobile in the vehicle. So that's no problem with that, Gary. But yeah, I just wanted to program another frequency, but don't worry about it. Maybe do some other time there. There's no problems there. Very good there, Gary. Just wanted to let you know and give you updated about the radio and stuff like that. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that, Gary, for your help there and everything like that. Very good there, Gary. I'll be listening to the slide there, Gary, and I'm just going to program the radio and just call it a night there. But you have a great night. Have a great weekend. Now I'll talk to you guys soon then. KD2DDK from KC2ZMA.
Okay, Marco, very good. I had a chance to ask Bill about that, those choices, the RAT choices with the four-digit text code and stuff, and he didn't know either. You know, it all, that's the personality that we transferred out of the radio, which was unique to that detective, I guess. So, you know, maybe some Friday night we can plug it into the club's computer and we can show Bill what I was talking about. Have a good night. Finish up your programming and we'll talk. KC2ZMA, KD2DDK.
Oh, very good, Gary. Very good. Yeah, if I don't come to the club with tomorrow's Friday, if not, then Gary, maybe next week or so. But yeah, I'll bring the radio definitely. Maybe we'll try it out and see what Bill had to say and stuff like that, or maybe he's got a little more knowledge. Crazy stuff with these Motorola radios. But very good there, Gary. Just to let you know, Gary, you have the your signal has that little chirping thing in the background, like the a little bit of noise in the background. No problems there. Don't worry about it. I think I told you last time there. But you said it comes and goes. But no problems there, Gary. Very good. 73 is there, Gary. Have a great night. Have a great night. KC2ZMA.
You too, Marco. Good luck on the new vehicle. 82DDK.
Thanks, there, Gary. KC2ZMA. Thank you.